Sunday, December 12th, 2010. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today's topic is the personal branding checkup. And it's about time, too, because if you're like me, you completely buy into this concept of a compelling personal brand. But how does one truly accomplish that? That's what we're going to talk about today. I have five different areas that we're going to attack. Again, this is one of those topics we could have done 50. I want to be respectful of your time. We'll certainly circle back and do some of the additional ones in the future. But today, it's going to be five. And you're going to want to stop this podcast at times, reflect, and you're going to want to take a lot of notes. You're going to want to write this down in your journal if you keep one. If you're not keeping a journal, you might want to start today, because these are things that you want to own and you want to capture. And you want to be able to thumb back through those pages and get back to these lessons. And again, I've structured these different areas for you to explore in the form of a checkup, like I said, because there's questions. So you're going to want to stop and reflect and write and all that kind of stuff. So let's get down to business. Item number one, who are you and what is your main thing? Who are you? What is your main thing? This is an important one. And I'm going to tell you that every single day, just like you, just like your potential customers, I'm on the internet. I go to blogs. I go to LinkedIn. I go to Twitter. I go to all websites. And I get very confused as to what is this person's main thing. They're all over the place. And until you stop and take the time to do this, you're really missing it. And I'm going to tell you, this again is how I started my journey 2 years ago in my little journey to brand me, to make Paul Castain a more compelling brand. I remember sitting in a hotel room in Memphis, and I had my journal open, and I really asked my question, you know, who am I? And what do I want to stand for? What do I want to be known for? What do I want to represent? What do I want to be synonymous with? And you know what, folks? If people truly buy difference, and we hear that one all the time in sales, people buy difference, well then what's your difference? To me, this is such a critical question, because when people assess your offering, they're usually going to compare it to something, right? It's either going to be compared to your competitor or compared to them doing nothing against the status quo, business as usual. So you have to be able to articulate that. And when you do articulate it, man, you got to do it in human, conversational speak, and none of this end-to-end, full service, one-source solution type of nonsense. You really got to speak like a human being. And we're going to get into that in a second. Item number two, who do you serve? Now, you can't, and neither can I, we can't be all things to all people. I think it's very, very important that we think about who an ideal client would be for us. I know you've thought of it, and I know that you want to say, duh, Paul, I've done this, but you need to clearly articulate this. Who is that ideal customer? But you got to go a step further. You got to think about, what are the problems that I solve for my customers? What do I do best, right? How do I make them shine? How do I make them look like a rock star? But here is the problem in sales, folks. From the beginning of time, we were taught to look for the pain. You do a needs analysis. What do, folks? You go for the pain. But that is really only part of the battle. Of course, you go for the pain, but you also have to find the opportunity. And the way you find the opportunity is similar to how you find the pain, by the way. You have to mentally fire yourself from your industry, rehire yourself in theirs, and think like they would. And if you were in their industry, what would you be looking for? What would be the opportunities? Now, there's some generic ones, by the way. Things like, most businesses want more sales. Well, how does what you do speak to that? How can you help them generate revenue? How can you help them be more profitable? How can you help them keep their employees happy and get that production going even better? How can you help them to innovate smarter and to get to market quicker? All of those things, right? You need to think about that. That's very, very important. Number three, you need to understand this one. This one is huge. Understand that the landscape has changed in business today. A huge change is happening right before our very eyes, folks. Understand that it's no longer a B2B or a B2C model. It is now a little confusing, but you got to bear with me, a B2B2B, which would be business to business to business, or a B2C2C, or a business to consumer to another consumer. You have social media to thank for that one. And it's a good thing because today's clients and prospects, they want to talk to other clients and other prospects. They want to go to these communities and find out what people are saying. Most of these searches now for a new vendor or a new product or service or a need are beginning online. There's more and more studies that are showing us this. So it's very, very important that we understand that. So, in fact, just very, very quickly, just to beat that up, I mean, I'll see it on Twitter all the time. I'll see it on LinkedIn where somebody will either say, hey, does anybody know a good service for this or a good company that offers the following product? Or I'll even hear, and this is happening more and more, people call out a particular vendor by name. Has anyone had experience with the ABC company? What can you tell me? The good, the bad, and the ugly. That's very, very important. So if we know that exists right now, part of your branding strategy, it's kind of a three-part question. It's part one, what would you like for these people to be saying about you, not just your brand, you behind your back? These conversations are going on. I promise you, what do you hope they're saying about you? Now, that's the easy part of the question. The next part, I'm really going to ask you to tell your ego to go wait in the car. You got to tell the ego, man, I got this one, dude. You cannot be here for this, because your ego is going to protect you from the truth on this next one. What do you think people are actually saying about you? And part three is, do you even care to listen? Are you even making any attempt to listen? If you are not putting your ear to social media right now, and listening in on Twitter and on LinkedIn and on blogs and out there in out there on the net, you're missing some huge opportunities. And there's all kinds of tools and software, if you will, to help you to listen more efficiently. And some of them are high-end products like Radian 6 to free things, which you've heard me mention on here, like social mention and Google alerts and Twitter search and things like that. But you have to be listening to see what's going on out there. You cannot kid yourself into thinking the whole world is singing all kinds of wonderful things about you and about the market, and you have to be listening. And also, when you listen, you will find not only opportunities to improve your brand, but you will also find new markets that your brand can speak to. So I think that's a huge thing right there. So let's move on to the next thing, number four. You need to understand the six judgments. You need to understand the six judgments. Now, the six judgments, I've spoken about this before. I really believe that we are constantly judged, whether it's by our personal brand or when it comes to rapport building with people. People are constantly judging us, whether we like it or not. And there are six judgments that people generally go through. And there are so many different variations of these. The reason why I call it six judgment is that it will usually fall into one of these buckets or more than one of these buckets. So here's what they are, and I'll go back and I'll give you some examples in a moment. How you look, how you act, what you say, how you say it, where you say it, and with whom you say it. Let's take the first one, how you look. Let's take your profile. If you're on social networking, what does your profile look like? I see so many people that, pardon my French, half-ass their profile. They barely fill it out. And what people don't realize is that your profile is now your online resume. In fact, in many cases, there are people, employers, potential customers that would actually look at that and weigh that more heavily than some piece of paper. This is the new resume, your online footprint. So they're going to look at your profile, and you need to have that completely filled out and in a way that speaks to, you ready for this? You're going to hear it a lot, your main thing. Again, your main message. The other thing that I see with a lot of these profiles is the picture. Do you even have a picture? It's like people kind of, you know, take on this vibe of the invisible man or the invisible woman. Why wouldn't you put a picture? I mean, again, I'm certainly not running around like I'm Brad Pitt. If I could put my picture up there, you could certainly put yours. I mean, it adds some legitimacy to your profile, by the way, because when you don't put a picture, you have to be very careful of the message that sends. So the other thing is the quality of that picture, man. I see some pictures, again, that, you know, people have that red eye thing going on from the flesh, and they kind of look like they're possessed by some demon, some online demons or whatever. I also see other pictures that are just way too casual for you to be conveying an image or a brand of professional. For example, I'll see some people that there was one of them that I came across where somebody's kind of hanging out with like a dolphin, right? Or another one, somebody's on a surfboard, or they're like at a picnic and laying down and kind of just stretched out and all relaxed and stuff. And that's cool. Like, if you want to convey an image, or if your main thing is surfer dude, man, hey, have at it. You're doing a great job. But you have to be careful of that. Again, what's your main thing? Next, one of my pet peeves. I'll see people that put up a logo instead of their picture. People don't want to do business with a logo. They want to do business with a person. I've seen other people that maybe like their cat a little bit too much, or their dog a little bit too much. And every time I see them commenting in a forum, I want to say, lo and behold, we've got the world's only talking dog or cat. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And you got to think that one out. Unless, again, you're in a pet forum and you sell pet supplies, maybe that should be your main thing. But even so, I just think that people are not digging the whole talking cat thing. So you might want to think about that. Next, you want to really take a good look at your website, your blog, your Facebook page. What kind of visual message do they convey about you and your main thing? Also, let's not forget your marketing materials, your business card, your physical appearance. And again, when I say your physical appearance, I'm not saying that we, you know, women, that you have to be a beauty queen, and guys, we have to be Brad Pitt. I'm saying that you convey the image of a professional. I see some people way too casual. I'll use myself as an example. One of the pictures that I had on LinkedIn when I first started was a picture that was taken out of my brother's backyard. And don't tell my brother, but I kind of cropped him out of the photo. I've got my sunglasses on. I'm in a t-shirt, man. Well, that's not really the image I want to be conveying right there. So I kind of replaced it with something else that really spoke to who I am. So I think that's really, really important. And also, how you look. You're also judged on that in real time when you're showing samples and how those samples look. Is the quality there? I've seen people that have shown in the printing industry samples of things that had things spilled on it and really should have been replaced 2 years ago, and the ink is faded. So you get the picture. Next, how you act. Do you conduct yourself in a manner that is congruent with your main thing that we keep talking about? Great example. I see this one violated all the time. There's somebody on Twitter, and it's not just this one person. This has happened with many people, but I'm going to kind of use this person without a name, by the way, to protect the innocent, to illustrate the point. There's somebody who is a sales trainer, and I follow lots of sales trainers because, as you guys know, I'm a work in progress and I got to learn. And so really what I was looking for was sales training ideas and sales ideas and, you know, all that kind of personal development stuff. And this person gets political all the time. And it doesn't matter whether I agree with this person or not. It's not what I signed up for. His main thing is should be sales training. I know him, and that's what he's trying to convey, but he doesn't. He gets involved in these political things, thinking that all of his followers want to hear that. And it's just a very dangerous thing, by the way, to be doing, because you're going to find people on different sides of the fence. And that's a stupid reason to dilute your brand and alienate people. But it just deviates from the main thing. I've seen people on LinkedIn that are way too combative. And it's great to be passionate about a subject. I am. By the way, I mean, those of you that know me, I hate spammers. I hate people that come into groups and just spew all these infomercials or whatever. But if I start going off on that stuff too much and I start locking horns with people, it's going to take away from my main thing. Again, I'm not trying to be, you know, like when I get back to like that political guy, right? I'm not trying to be like O'Reilly. Again, we're trying to brand ourselves a certain way. Now, if that is in fact what you're going for, or if you love to fight with people and you want to be branded as an a-hole, then do it, man. You hats off to you. Rock on. You're doing a great job. But I would venture to say that that's not what you're looking for. Next is what you say. Are you offering your audience good content that demonstrates your expertise? This is huge. I'll give another Twitter example for you. Someone followed me recently, and I don't just go ahead and follow everybody back. I'd like to see who I'm about to follow. I'm sure you're the same way. So I look, and this guy just wrote a book, and I think that's wonderful. But all his tweets on there were about his book. Buy my book. Check out my YouTube video on my book. Sign up for my Amazon lists, you know, about my book and my newsletter and all these things about my book. It's all me, 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 book, book, book. And it becomes very boring very, very quickly. In fact, very, very quick story. There is somebody who had written a book a few months ago. And man, I was just really excited about this. It was a topic that I was very interested in. And this person was all over Twitter. And I discovered this person. I was like, man, where you been all my life? I ordered the book on Amazon. By the time the book got to me, I was ready to throw the book in the trash because I was so sick of this person. overdoing the infomercials about it. So again, there's no quality in that. There is no value in a nonstop commercial. The same way on Twitter, by the way, when people, you see them broadcasting things all the time. It's link after link. It is tip after tip. That is great, but there needs to be some interaction in there as well. There needs to be some acknowledgement. When people say things to you, you need to respond to them. I think that's very, very important, because you got to remember the venue, folks. This isn't a website that's one way. We've done there. We've been there, done that. This is a social networking platform. Again, social is your sign. So you have to be very, very careful of that. Let's move on. The next thing is how you say something. When you look at your blog, is it conversational? Your website, is it conversational? Does it tell a story, or is it infested with that marketing lingo and corporate speak and, like I said before, all that end-to-end solution stuff and all that stuff? It's just ridiculous. It has to be a conversation. One of the best pieces of advice I was given as a public speaker by my mentor over at Dale Carnegie when I worked for them really holds true in social networking and in branding. This person would always say to me, Paul, when you get up and you give a speech, pretend you are at the kitchen table having a cup of coffee and having a conversation. I really think that our branding efforts need to have that human voice, and it has to be a conversation. And I want you to think about that. And I think it's very, very important when it comes to how you say something that you find your voice. And to me, it took me a while to kind of find my voice. But one thing I found, and one thing I found in the folks that I've interviewed and kind of picked their brain, so to speak, is that when we find our voice, it's really the true authentic self. It's really us. It's us just being that breath of fresh air, and it's injecting humor and being real. One of the things I learned from a great book, by the way, that I've mentioned before, it's called Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk. And I recommend you get the audio version just so that you can experience his personality, because it's wonderful. And one of the things he said that really resonated with me is that when he does his daily video show, he will not do a second take. So he says, you're going to see a fly flying across the camera. You're going to hear his ums, and you're going to see people walking in front of the camera spilling things. And I think that's a huge thing, because, again, I think we connect with people who are real and not over-the-top polished. I try to do it in my podcast, by the way. I will generally not do a second take unless I have some kind of a technical difficulty that I can't troubleshoot. But this time of year, you'll hear me. I have like one nonstop cold. You'll hear me coughing into the microphone, so I'm not going to edit it out. It's just, if you were sitting with me, you're going to hear the damn cough. So, again, I want to be real, and I want to be true to myself. People see that, and some people are going to like it. Some people won't. But here's the key, folks. I see so many people that say, this is me, love me or leave me. I don't know that that's necessarily the right approach, because sometimes that could be your license to be inappropriate. You need to be appropriate. You need to be mindful of your audience. I'm just saying, be true to yourself in that process somewhere. And again, you'll find it, but you need to be on the hunt for that. Next, where you say it. Are you delivering your messages in places where your audience visits? Again, where you say it. Are you delivering the message where your audience goes, not where you want to go? Something that I hear on a daily basis, by the way. I bet you I hear it 3 to 5 times a day. People say to me, Paul, I don't get LinkedIn. Or, Paul, I just don't have any use for Twitter. You know, Paul, God bless you with your blog, but I could never do it. I don't get blogging. Here is my just unedited response to that. It's not going to be nice. I'm going to clean up the language. But you still might want to put your earmuffs on it. But it's going to be very real, my response. Who cares what you think? That's my answer. That's not me being an idiot to you. That's me being the voice of your customer, because they truly don't give a damn that you don't like that they want to listen to you on LinkedIn. They truly don't give a damn that they want to go to a blog and you don't have one, right? What really matters here, folks, is where your clients and potential clients want to communicate with you. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter that you get it. It just matters that you show up and that you deliver a quality message there and you are true to your main thing. I want you to think about that. And I want you also, for those of you that are getting a hard time from your boss about being involved in social media and everything else, you might want to go back to them. And I think this could be your most compelling argument yet. Maybe it's not about you approving this. Maybe it's not even about me. Maybe it's about where our customers and potential customers are having conversations every single day, even right now while we speak, that we need to start getting involved in. Because, folks, if we don't, trust me, your competitor will eat your lunch. So you need to get involved in those conversations. Let me get off my soapbox after that little preaching sermon. Let's go on to the next one. With whom you say it. This is the final of the six judgments. With whom you say it. You can and will be judged by the company you keep. Again, I'll give an example about Twitter. I'm using lots of Twitter examples today, by the way. Twitter. I see on Twitter, again, I've been at it 2 years now. I got about 13,500 followers on there. Proud of it. Could be doing better, could be doing worse, right? But here's the thing. I see a lot of people on there that kind of have this vibe of like internet fame, right? They've got a lot of followers and maybe they're authors or maybe they've hit some degree of success in their life or whatever. But I will see that they only hang out with other people with 40 or 50,000 followers or only hang out with other authors or other people that have achieved a certain level. I think that's a huge mistake because it alienates your audience. And my whole view is that I really don't care if you have three followers. I don't care if you have 300,000. I mean, if you are going to be kind enough to at me on Twitter where you're going to mention me somehow, well, then I think I owe you the courtesy of a response or the courtesy of showing some gratitude. And also, I think that we need to really stop and reflect on why aren't we living for the conversation? Because it is a social networking platform. We have to become more social. So don't get caught up in that trap of, you know, you've hit a certain level or you only need to interact with certain people. And don't get caught up in the trap of you only need to interact with your target audience. I mean, if somebody else that maybe seems like they have nothing to do with what you want to accomplish is showing interest in you, could they be married to somebody that would be able to use your product? Could they know somebody? Could somebody be in their network? Could somebody in their, you know, viewing their Twitter feed see that they're conversing with you and say, oh my goodness, I need that. Let me contact this person. Don't ever let those things get in the way. So you need to really think about that. That's very, very important. LinkedIn groups, I'll see the same thing with people sometimes. Interesting thing, one of the things I notice on somebody's profile is that they're a person in a certain industry, right? And I noticed when I looked at their profile that they belong to all these political groups and they don't sell to those industries. They just have a strong opinion. I advise them, you might want to be careful that you might want maybe even hide the groups because again, it deviates from your main thing. And their main thing is not political activists. It's a seller of a certain type of service. So again, you don't want anything distracting that. And also too, I think needless to say, you hang out with jerks, people are going to assume that you're a jerk. So you might want to think about that too. Item number five, and then we'll wrap it up. Understand that this business of personal branding is basically a never-ending courtship process, and you don't rush a courtship, folks. Love happens. When it happens, it's not scheduled. And in the absence of patience, stupidity usually shows its ugly face. And what I mean by that is that if you don't understand that this is a long-term courtship, you may try to rush something. That's when you might start spamming. That's when you might start rushing something. Somebody friends you. You immediately hit them with the sales pitch. You got to be very, very careful about that. Again, it happens when it happens. I was in a discussion not too long ago, and again, to each their own, and I respect everyone's opinion. It doesn't mean that I truly get it. I certainly respect different opinions, but somebody said when I said the concept of courtship, they said, I don't have the time for courtship. And I'm thinking about that. That is just such a short-sighted perspective to have. I didn't say it to the person. That's what I believe in my heart because, again, I'm not going to rush my relationships. I am certainly going to have the urgency to keep it moving. But it's going to happen when it happens. It's not going to happen because I want it to happen the third Thursday of the month before, you know, I get judged on my commission or whatever it is. It's going to happen when it happens. So you need to keep that in mind. And last but not least, under that same heading, you need to continually check how relevant you are because what's relevant on point and on topic today, tomorrow could be completely antiquated. So again, you want to continually have your finger on the pulse, continue to listen to things that are going on out there, listen to your customers, listen to your potential customers, and adapt and change. I mean, when I first started my journey 2 years ago, I devised a four-year plan that would be to get me to a certain point in 4 years, but it would continue after that. And I will tell you, 2 years in, things have gone according to plan. There's other things I've had to change, but There's no way 4 years ago I could have predicted how the marketplace was going to be, certain things with the economy, certain things with my audience, the way that you have all chosen to respond to me, how quickly things would take off. Even venues that I thought were useless at that time now are my best venues that I communicate my main thing. So you have to think about that, and it's very, very important. So therefore, I want you to consider yourself a work in progress when it comes to your personal brand. You cannot read enough on this stuff. Keep reading up on it. If you see people that are getting the result that you want when it comes to their brand, just model them. That's one of the things that I did. I found some people on Twitter. I found some people on LinkedIn, and I modeled them because I certainly don't have all the answers. And you've got to jump in. You've got to get involved. But I'm telling you, this business of personal branding is huge for salespeople. We've got to become better marketers, folks. We've got to pay more attention to our brand. And we always, always, always have to be respectful of the main thing. So there you have it. Five things for you to consider while constructing that wonderful brand that we call you. I'm Paul Castain with YourSalesPlaybook.com. I'm inviting you to stop by the website. Please sign up for the free sales tips. I want you also to go to the tab that says free stuff from Uncle Paul. I've got free ebooks, no strings attached. I'm not going to make you sign up for this. I'm not going to then send you some sales pitch. It is truly my way of giving back to a profession that's been very kind to me and my family without getting corny and tearful, but that's really kind of how it is. Also, I'd like to invite you to join our LinkedIn group, Sales Playbook. We've got over 17,000 members. It's always spam free. We'd love to have you come join us. So with that, I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Work on that branding stuff, and we'll talk to you soon. Go get them.